Welcome to worship, everyone. I'm Pastor Kim Engelman. I'm so glad that you're here this morning to worship God with us. And happy Mother's Day to all of you who are moms this morning. So glad that you can worship the Lord our God who is alive and with us and ready to touch our hearts this morning. Just a word about Mother's Day today. Again, welcome to all you moms, and we want to celebrate you and recognize you and all that you do. We always talk as a church about what to do for Mother's Day, and sometimes we think, you know, well, we should give out flowers or bookmarks or something like that, but instead of doing that, we always think that a better way to celebrate is to use that money, and that's money came from worship and missions, to do something for a family in need. So to honor Mother's Day, we've actually purchased a cow for a family in need, and through the Heifer Project International. And you like that? Okay, so that's good. it just seems like a better way to go. And a good dairy cow can produce 4 gallons of milk a day, so families can get the sustenance and nutrients they need, the kids can, and then they also share it with their neighbors. Then what happens is when the cow gives birth, then their offspring go to support others in the village or community where they live so that they can have milk as well. The sale of surplus milk also earns money for school fees, medicine, clothing, and home improvements. A healthy cow produces a calf every year. So it really does multiply very quickly. So we just wanted you to know that that's what we've done in your honor. I'm glad because I saw a lot of moms clapping, and I'm glad that's good. So happy Mother's Day, everyone, and know that a family in need is being blessed because of you.
This morning's prayer is brought to you by the Book of Psalms. Let's pray. O Lord, our Lord, how exalted is your name in all the earth. We sing to you a new song for all you have done marvelous things. Thank you for the successes of yesterday's teddy bear fair. We ask that you would work in the hearts and minds and lives of all who attended, that someday soon we may rejoice when they say to themselves, "Let us go to the house of the Lord." And on this Mother's Day, we remember our mothers. Because of our mothers, many will, with the psalmist, praise you, O Lord, with all our hearts. We will tell of all your wonders. We will be glad and rejoice in you. We will sing praise to your name, O Most High. But Mother's Day is not the same for all. Some continue to grieve the mother's passing, and with the psalmist will lament, "You have taken my companion and loved ones from me." Others continue to heal from the hurt inflicted by their parents, and with the psalmist confess, "Though my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will receive me." We remember the many mothers who joyfully embrace their motherhood experiences and affirm with the psalmist, "I will sing to the Lord, for he has been good to me." We also remember those mothers who are tested, challenged, and exhausted, who might sigh with the psalmist, "Oh, that I had wings of a dove, I would fly away and be at rest." We remember those who recall a pivotal decision in their motherhood experience, and some who would remember those decisions and call out, "Save me, O God, by your name. Vindicate me by your might." While others would remember their decision and plead, "Hide your face from my sins and blot out my iniquity. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me." And we remember others for whom the motherhood experience painfully remains a not yet event, who with the psalmist cries out, "How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever?" Mother's Day greets us differently, Lord. For everyone who sings of your great love forever, there seems to be some who is worn out from groaning and all night long floods their bed with tears. Be not far off, O Lord. Search us and know us. Hold us fast with your right hand. For in our mothers we were fearfully and wonderfully made, and all our days were ordained before one of them came to be. For you are good, and your love endures forever. Your faithfulness continues through all generations. So help us, O Lord, to be still and know that you are God. You will be exalted among the nations. You will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us, for we know you are with us, not because of what we remember on Mother's Day. We know you are with us, not in spite of what we remember on Mother's Day, but we know you are with us because of Emmanuel, God with us, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning comes from Psalm 146. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, O my soul. I will praise the Lord all my life. I will sing praises to my God as long as I live. Do not put your trust in princes, in mortal men who cannot save. When their spirit departs, they return to the ground. On that very day, their plans come to nothing. Blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is the Lord his God, the maker of heaven and earth, the sea, and everything in them, the Lord who remains faithful forever. He upholds the cause of the oppressed and gives food to the hungry. The Lord sets prisoners free. The Lord gives sight to the blind. The Lord lifts up those who are bowed down. The Lord loves the righteous. The Lord watches over the alien and sustains the fatherless and the widow. But he frustrates the way of the wicked. The Lord reigns forever. Your God, O Zion, for all generations. Praise the Lord.
We're going to continue with our Psalms of Praise. We're in a series on the Psalms, so we're going to continue with talking about praise psalms. That's a certain type of psalm that you'll find in the Bible. And so that's, you know, if you want to take out your Bible, I see some of you taking out the Bibles in the pew racks or whatever, if you brought one with you, that's kind of a good thing to do, or look up on your iPhone, your Bible app, whatever, because it gets you oriented to where the Psalms are in the Bible. If you want to find the book of Psalms, usually you'll come to it if you open the Bible right in the center. You'll come at least to about where the Psalms are. And I'm going to be talking about Psalm 146 this morning, so... you want to do that? That would be probably helpful for you. But before we get into the meat of this, let me ask you a question. Who here paints or does artwork? Some of you do. So if you're an artist and somebody says to you, go out and buy some paint, chances are you're not going to say, oh, okay, no problem, I'll go out and buy the paint. You're going to ask a question first. You're going to ask, what kind of paint do you mean, right? Now, somebody who's not an artist is not going to ask that question. But because an artist knows paint, they're going to say, what do you want? You want acrylic paint? You want oil paint? You want watercolors, spray paint? So there's very specific characteristics paint has, right? And only artists will know. Or in the same way, if you're raised in Alaska, you're an Eskimo, somebody says, well, what's snow like? Okay? You know, chances are that that person's not going to be able to answer right away. Before asking the question, well, what kind of snow are you talking about? Is it slush? Is it a blizzard, a flurry, a drift, sleet, or powder? There's actually many words for snow there. And they differentiate between different types of snow because they know snow. They're in snow all the time. Okay. So artists know paint. Eskimos know snow. The Hebrew people knew praise. Most of us today don't have a clue about praising God, really. For the most part, we're on a praise-free diet. And the Bible declares that, you know, a praise-free diet is not good for your health. And, you know, I failed at a lot of diets, but I'm really good at the praise-free diet. And I know that I am far too self-absorbed most of the time, rushed and worried. Maybe you can relate. And some of us, if we were asked what praising God looked like, what that was all about, we might not be sure how to answer. Maybe a couple songs on Sunday when we get up and sing something religious, something we do in church, not really sure. You know, and so praising God may not be part of our daily rhythm, if we're perfectly honest, but praise is all through the Psalms. And the Hebrew people were praise junkies. They knew praise. There are 7 words for praise, different kinds of praise. And they are found, all 7 words for praise are found in the Psalms. The Hebrew people insisted on praise. They were actually required, as I've told you before, to praise God 100 times a day, right? And within that framework, 7 different kinds of praise. So I'm going to go through that with you, what those kinds of praises were. And again, if you asked a Jew or a person to describe praise, they'd say, well, what kind of praise do you mean? Because there's lots of different forms of praise. Do you mean halal praise, they would say? Halal is the primary Hebrew root word for praise. Now, what English word do you think comes from the word halal? Hallelujah. You are absolutely 100% right. Hallelujah comes from that Hebrew root word. And it means to be clear, to shine, to boast, show, to rave, celebrate, to be clamorously foolish. Have you ever gotten up and said, I'm going to go to church so that I can be clamorously foolish about God? I've never actually said that, but I will tell you that there's a music concert annually called Spirit West Coast, a Christian concert that some of us from this church go to every time it comes to this area. And that's exactly what we were at that concert. Some of us from West Valley Presbyterian, let me emphasize, Presbyterian Church, were clamorously foolish about the Lord. And it was awesome. We got in this great big line, and we put our hands on each other's shoulders, and we bounced around in the mosh pit. Maybe it wasn't, I think it was the mosh. Anyway, it was right in front of where the concert was going. We bounced around, and we sang at the same time. So bouncing and singing for me at the same time was a big challenge. And we ran around in this line singing praises to Jesus. And it was wonderful. It was fun. It was exciting. We were expressing our joy. And just in case you don't believe me, can anyone here verify that we were clamorously foolish at Spirit West Coast? Thank you for being honest. You see their hands. Thank you for being willing to be ridiculed after the service. I didn't know it at the time, but we were doing halal praise, clamorously foolish praise, celebration, to be so excited about God, you don't care what other people think. And one of the Psalms where the word halal is used is Psalm 113, 1-3. Praise halal, ye the Lord. Praise halal, O you servants of the Lord. Praise halal, the name of the Lord. But maybe it isn't halal praise you're talking about, the devout Jew would say to you. If it wasn't halal praise, perhaps it is zamar or tahilah praise. These 2 forms of praise West Valley Presbyterian Church does very well and regularly. Zamar and tahila are musical forms of praise. Zamar means to pluck the strings of an instrument. And we saw last time that that was transferred in the New Testament as plucking the strings of your harp, of your heart, I'm sorry. So it goes from the harp to the heart. But the Psalms were originally written for the harp. And Jerry is going to play a little bit for us, and then we're going to ask you to join in after he's done. So tell us when to join in, Jerry, but go ahead. Thank you. creatures of our God and King, lift up your voice and with us sing. Alleluia, alleluia. Thou burning sun with golden beam, thou silver moon with softer gleam. Oh, praise him, oh, praise him. Alleluia, alleluia, alleluia. Thank you. Good job. Thank you, Jerry. What you just did there at the end, when you sang Alleluia, Alleluia, that was Tehillah praise. That's when you sing your hallelujahs. So it's related to Zamar, but it's, again, musical. But when you sing hallelujahs to God, that was a specific form of praise. And one of the psalms where Tehillah praise occurs is to grant to those who mourn in Zion, giving them a garland instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, the mantle of praise, Tehillah, instead of the spirit of fainting, so that they shall be called oaks of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. So when you sing hallelujah, you are doing Tehillah praise. But maybe that's not what you're talking about. The Hebrew person would say to you, who's a praise junkie, they would say, maybe it's Shabbat praise that you mean. Shabbat praise means to shout, like the children sang this morning. I'll shout when the Spirit says shout. To address in a loud tone, to command, to triumph. Now, somewhere back there, someone decided that we were supposed to be quiet in church. But so far, the Psalms have not said anything about being quiet yet, have they? We've so far got praise, celebration, clamorous foolishness. We've got singing, and now we've got shouting, and we've got instruments. So lots of noise. So every time it says shout to the Lord in the Psalms, Shabbat praise happens. That's what you're reading about. And this makes so much sense because it means we are enthusiastic again and excited about God. Why shouldn't we shout? We shout for far less reasons, right? We shout at a Sharks game, and I'm not saying that's not important, you know, but we shout when they make a goal. You know, that little black disc goes into a metal frame and there's a net there, and we get excited about that, you know. We shout. We go crazy. Jonathan, I brought him to school one morning. He didn't have a voice, and he lost it cheering on his baseball team. So he was doing halal and Shabbat all at once for baseball, jumping up and down in celebration and shouting at the top of his lungs. And you'll hear shouting this summer at the Olympic Games. When you are exuberant and enthusiastic about something or someone, you shout. Why not to the Lord? So let's do Shabbat praise right now. On three, let's shout, praise the Lord with all our heart, because we want to be biblical Christians, all right? All right. One, two, three. Praise the Lord. Beautiful. You just did Shabbat praise. Very good. All right. And here, Psalm 47:1, here's an example of it in the Psalms. Oh, clap your hands, all people. Shout Shabbat to God with a voice of joy or triumph. But maybe that's not what you mean at all, says the Hebrew person who's a praise junkie. Maybe you mean barach praise. This is when you praise God by being reverent, all right? Quiet, awestruck, all right? It's here in the silence that we might experience God. And that's why sometimes we're silent in church. A lot of times we are. But this is not meant to be a somber, bored posture. Not at all. Barach means to be filled with wonder, aware of God's holy presence. For the Hebrew people, it usually took the form of standing in God's presence or kneeling in awe. So as much as we might stand in awe at the Grand Canyon, so beautiful, right? Or be taken aback at the sight of a beautiful seascape or a sunrise, when God comes and we know it is God, we are overwhelmed by his grandeur, his holiness, awed. We may kneel. We know we're in the presence of the holy. And we can't deny it. And that, too, silent awe is a form of praise. I remember a story a colleague of mine shared with me about a young adult who had just no place for God in his life. He was sort of a punk and he was in a lot of trouble, and his pastor was trying to help him, and they were seated in the sanctuary together, and the young man got up, pointed at the cross that was in the front of the church, and said, "You know, all this religious stuff is just stupid. It doesn't mean anything," he tells the pastor. "Jesus Christ died for me and I don't give a rip," except he didn't say rip. "I'm doing it for you." And the pastor said to him, "All right," he said, "look at the cross and say that again." And the young man said to me, "Jesus Christ died for me and I don't give a rip." "Say it again," said the pastor. The young man sauntered closer to the cross. He looked at it. He began his spiel. "Jesus Christ died for me." And then he couldn't go on, because in that moment he was seized by the sense that he was in the presence of a holy God, he said later. And he couldn't finish his sentence. Instead, he sank to his knees, and all he could do was repeat those first five words again and again through tears. "Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ died for me. Jesus Christ died for me." As the Holy Spirit did a work in his heart. See, that's Barak praise. Being awed by the holy presence of God with you. Psalm 95:6 says, "Oh, come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel, Barak, before the Lord our Maker." And you can't leave out Yada and Toda praise. The Jewish person would say to you, maybe that's the kind of praise you meant. Now, here at West Valley Presbyterian Church, some of you do this every Sunday. Yada praise is to extend your hands in worship, right? And Toda means the same thing, except more specifically, it indicates the extension of the hand in adoration for things not yet received, as well as things already at hand. So what do you know? We can praise God for what we haven't even received yet, because we know he is good, that he loves us and will work in our lives for his glory and honor. Even when we don't see it, even in the darkest pit, when we are going through the valley, we can still praise God, because we know that God will work all things together for good. Even when it is dark, even when we're going through a tough time, we can praise, because we know God is faithful. He's been faithful in the past. He'll be faithful now and in the future. So everyone lift your hands up and praise if you can. Scripture tells us to extend. Oh, this looks wonderful. Extend our arms in praise as we sing, reaching toward the heavens. And let's read this together with our hands extended. So I will bless thee. I'm sorry, let's start again. So I will bless thee as long as I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. Very good. You're being very biblical this morning. Very biblical. Now, listen to this interesting piece of information. According to the lexicon, the opposite meaning of reaching up and praising God is the wringing of the hands in worry. Okay, so why don't you, now you brought your hands down. Now, I want everybody to wring your hands, shake them, and start to worry about something. It shouldn't be too hard to find something to worry about. Now, notice when your hands are down here, fretting, they're beneath you. When we praise, our hands are to be up here in an open posture, reaching out for God, because it's not about me wringing my hands. It's about you, oh Lord, taking my hand and guiding me, and I reach out to you in faith. So worry, the wringing of the hands, is negative meditation. Praising with our hands lifted is positive meditation. So with seven different ways to praise God, do you think that maybe you can make praise part of your daily diet this week? Try it. Try it. I think about all the things I worry about every day. It never does me any good anyway. So I decided this week, every time I would begin to worry about something, I would try to replace it with praise just to balance things out a bit, you know. I didn't always feel like doing it at all. Many times this week I had to make the intentional choice to praise God in the midst of whatever was going on. It was a leap of faith for me. And circumstances weren't necessarily changing. In fact, this past week, I felt like God was sort of testing me because it was a rather intense, difficult week for many reasons. But I was determined, and when I'm determined, you can ask Tim about that. But the Psalms tell me to praise, and I wanted to do that. If I want to be biblical, I've got to be full of praise. And I was essentially saying to God all week, I believe more in you and your goodness and faithfulness than in my circumstances. I will praise you no matter what. You've got me this far. Your faithfulness doesn't change because you are good and you love me and care for me no matter what happens. I will praise you. And Psalm 146, look at the intentionality. I will praise the Lord all my life. If it's all his life, chances are bad and good is going to happen there. I will sing praise to my God as long as I live. So intentionally, I started to praise God as hard as it was to replace my worry and preoccupation with what was wrong, with what was right. God's goodness, his love for me. And guess what? I actually started to feel better. My perspective lightened. The joy began to return. Doors started opening. It's like praise opens windows for the Holy Spirit to move. As we turn our focus from wringing our hands to lifting our hands in trust and surrender. So often, and I encourage you, please follow what I gave you last week. And if you need another one, you weren't here last week, get one. There's a schedule for getting through the Psalms during this course of this series. So often, you will notice that a psalm starts out with a complaint. 9 times out of 10, by the end of the psalm, the psalm becomes a psalm of praise. And the whole book of Psalms is structured in this way as well, because Psalm 146 that we focused on today, if you want to take a look at it, you will see that it's the first of 5 psalms at the end of the book of Psalms that starts with the word hallelujah. The last 5 books in the book of Psalms are hallelujah psalms. So, we always triumph. Just as the book of Psalms ends with the 5 hallelujah psalms, the culmination of our journey is always joy, always victory, always triumph, and always hallelujah. What I want to do to close is to have you read a scripture, a psalm with me, Psalm 22, because we read it last week. It's the psalm that Jesus quotes when he's on the cross. And it's a long psalm, and we're going to do selected verses, so you probably should follow on the screen, although you can look it up in your Bible and see what I've left off. It starts with despair. Written hundreds of years ago, it describes what Jesus was going to go through on the cross. It's prophetic. And maybe you're going through a cross today, and maybe things aren't what you wish they were, and maybe you feel like God doesn't hear your cries, doesn't seem to be doing much on your behalf. Jesus felt that way. He quoted the beginning of this psalm, God forsaken. But this psalm doesn't end in despair. It ends in praise. Going out last week, Don Bollinger stopped. He says, why did you stop just with the crucifixion? There's resurrection. So today we're going to read the resurrection part of it. We'll start with the beginning, and then I want to show you how the resurrection happens at the end of the psalm. Our journey is always a journey of victory, always ends in victory. Praise God for the victory that is ours in Christ Jesus. Make that praise part of your daily diet. Hallelujah. Let's read together. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from saving me, so far from my cries of anguish? My God, I cry out by day, but you do not answer. By night, but I find no rest. This goes on and describes more of the crucifixion. Now we're going to the end of the psalm where the resurrection happens. I will declare your name to my people. In the assembly, I will praise you. You who fear the Lord, praise him. All you descendants of Jacob, honor him. Revere him, all you descendants of Israel. For he has not despised or scorned the suffering of the afflicted one. He has not hidden his face from him, but has listened to his cry for help. From you comes the theme of my praise in the great assembly. Before those who fear you, I will fulfill my vows. The poor will eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord will praise him. May your hearts live forever. They will proclaim his righteousness, declaring to a people yet unborn, he has done it. Let us pray together. Lord, I thank you for the gift of praise. And I thank you that Scripture reminds us again and again to turn our eyes away from ourselves and our worries and concerns and focus them upward on you. Lord, help us as we endeavor to make praise part of our daily diet. Help us to remember your goodness, to be awestruck, to kneel, to raise our hands, to shout with joy. And Lord, if anybody is going through a cross today, I pray that you would give them your presence and your love so that in the midst of whatever they're walking through, they will be able to praise you because they know that you will be faithful and you are. Thank you for your love for us. We ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. May you praise him this week as you go out from this place. If any of you are going through a tough time right now, or you just have somebody that needs special prayer, we invite you to come forward. Marvin's here, Steve will be here, and they would love to pray for you this morning. So please avail yourself of the prayer support that's here. Again, we're a church that believes in prayer. May you go out now in the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ, knowing that no matter what your circumstances, no matter what the valley you are walking through, you can praise God for his goodness, because he loves you and will be faithful to you in all things. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.